Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to this Labor Day edition of Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We've been listening back to our favorite conversations about Massachusetts labor history. This next one has to do with a strike from the recent past, one unlike any ever seen in New England. The summer of 2014, thousands of employees walked off the job and rallied outside of the Market Basket headquarters in Tewksbury. They weren't protesting poor work conditions or asking for higher wages. Instead, workers went on strike in support of an executive. They wanted ousted CEO Arthur T. Demoulas back in charge. The company hemorrhaged millions of dollars in the 40-day standoff as employees refused to work and customers boycotted. By the end of August 2014, Market Basket shareholders approved an agreement to put Arthur T. back in charge, buying the company from rival relatives, including his cousin, Arthur S. Here's Demoulas speaking to employees in Tewksbury after the agreement.
And words cannot express how much I love you. And may we always remember this past summer, first, as a time where our collective values of loyalty, courage, and kindness for one another really prevailed. And in that process, we just happened to save our company.
It was an unprecedented walkout. Store employees had successfully challenged the corporation's board. And after the walkout ended, we spoke with Ted Clark, director of Northeastern University's Center for Family Business, and with John O'Day, manager of a Market Basket store in Wilmington.
Things are going fantastic. It's great to see the consumers back. It's also great to see the kids back. You know, they enjoy working here. It's a great atmosphere. It's good to see them all back. And the customers are fantastic. We thank them for all their support. Without them, this never would have been possible. You know, it's a great business model, and I think the customers know that.
Well, tell me, how long is it going to take to get everything back on the shelves and in the aisles of the stores? I mean, I know a lot of trucks were on the move today, but I've been hearing it's going to take a couple days before everything's back in the stores. A
couple days. You know, we're getting fish delivered direct possibly today. We got a full trailer of paper delivered today. Produce will be delivered first thing in the morning. Meat cases about 75%. Dairy, we're waiting for yogurts, but the rest of the aisle is probably 60%. Deli department's about 60%. Bakeries about 75%. Kitchens probably 25%. But within a couple of days, we should be back up to, you know, close to 75%.
Yeah.
Well, all day weekend.
Mr. O'Day, if I might ask you, can you just tell us really why was this so important to you to be one of those people who risked everything in support of a CEO? I mean, obviously, Arthur T. Demoulas has got a lot of loyalty and many, many people love the way he's run this business. But, you know, it takes something special to say, I'm going to risk my job for this company. Why'd you do it?
It's a great business model. You know, to see what Mr. Demoulas and his family has done for these towns, for individuals, we've had a great lifestyle. We've worked hard. We've passed it along to these kids, to the full-timers, to the managers. You know, we care about the customer. The customer is what's most important to us. You know what I mean? We knew with the if things went the other way that we didn't think it would be beneficial for the consumer or the employees.
Yeah.
Therefore, we thought it was the best stance to take. We took our chances, and thank God it worked out.
John O'Day is the manager of the Market Basket in Wilmington. I know you've got a busy day and a busy afternoon ahead of you with a lot of customers back in the store, so thank you so much for joining us.
We thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, let's turn now back to Ted Clark, director of Northeastern Center for Family Business. What do you actually think is the biggest challenge in front of Arthur T. Demoulas now? You know, everyone's riding high on emotion today, but he's got to run a company starting tonight, I guess, or starting this moment.
Two things. First, the debt that he's going to have to service that he's from my understanding, he's never had to service debt, and particularly of this amount, $1 billion, in my book, is a lot of money.
Out of the $1.5 billion deal overall.
Yeah, it's a $1.5 billion deal. He'll have to service $1 billion in debt, and that'll be a change to the structure, and that could have a huge impact on the business model. And the other part of the puzzle is now, in some ways, he's traded one group of owners for another group of owners with $500 million in equity financing as well. So typically, outside equity investors are looking for an exit strategy. They're not in it for the long term, like a family member might be. And so he's probably going to get a lot of pressure from a group that want another exit strategy, and he may have to start looking for another $500 million
soon. So this is one of the ironies of the deal that was struck last night, because if I remember correctly, one of the major reasons behind the initial employee protest was when the board started talking about what was next for Market Basket after ousting Arthur T. Demoulas. They were looking for the kind of investors that employees didn't want. But now they have those people in the mix.
Yeah, that is kind of ironic. And it may actually, you know, not be as favorable for RDT, potentially, just for the fact that although he did have a very contentious relationship with the other side of the family, this type of group is probably very professional and expects information. They're looking for something to occur within a relatively short time frame, I would assume.
Right. And so that, and as you're saying, that in and of itself could have a profound effect on the very business model that these employees were protesting to defend.
Exactly. I think there'll be a lot of pressure for returns, and there'll be a lot of pressure for bottom line results from professionals who will be expecting answers on a regular basis. That's an assumption that I have.
Let me take a quick call here. Laura's calling from Worcester. You're on the air, Laura.
I just wanted to say I'm so inspired by what's happened. I've been a Market Basket customer for many years and boycotted like everyone else. I think Americans really needed this win this time. It just shows us that when we do rise up, when we believe in something, we can actually get something done and make a difference. I'm just really in awe of everything that's gone down, and can't wait to get back to Market Basket.
Laura, thank you so much for your call. We had a tweet come in from Beth Brosnan as well, who echoes that thought. Beth tweeted us, "Just went by my local Market Basket, bought a bottle of champagne and gave it to the staff. All businesses should run like Market Basket." Ted Clark, I think this is actually a very important point, because we are living in an age where working people for some time, you know, it can be said they have been looked upon as easily cuttable assets by major businesses and corporations, or that it's their wages to go first before profits do. And here we have, you know, those working people speaking back. I mean, I really do get a sense that there was a message that they wanted to deliver, not just to the board and shareholders of Market Basket, but to American business overall. And that's one of the reasons why this has resonated so deeply.
Oh, I agree 100%. They really, I think, helped make the sale occur. Without them, there may not have been the pressure to make this happen as quickly as it did. So, you really have to give the employees a lot of credit, the customers a lot of credit.
Do you think this is a message that, is going to reverberate beyond the Market Basket story, beyond here in New England? Are business schools looking at this and saying, this is more than a case?
One of the things I've always believed, and I always say over and over and over, there's a lot of things that corporate America could learn from a family business. And this is one of those things. When a family business works well, they work very well, and they can be unbeatable. They can be in it for the long haul. They can get to zero debt and operate with an understanding that if we keep debt down, we can provide value to the customers, we can provide value to the employees, and it could be a model that corporate, the traditional shareholder company finds very difficult to beat. Corporate America should be taking a look at Demoulas and using it as an example for their own businesses. Mm. Long-term investments for the long haul, customer value, and appreciate your employees. It's very powerful.
Well, speaking of those customers, I mean, everybody today seems to be very confident that the company can win all its customers back. Do you share that confidence, or is there any aspect of the past 6 weeks that might have shaken the customer base a little bit?
I think the customers that shopped at Demoulas will most likely go back. I think the ones that didn't shop at Demoulas will have to go check it out at least once or twice to see what it was all about. You know, if you look at the positive goodwill that the employees express, that the customers express, you got to think that this is a coup for, although it was probably a financially painful coup, it was probably a coup long-term for relationships with clients.
Yeah. Who is the real winner here? Because, I mean, today all the coverage is Arthur T. won. He's got control. He and his sisters have control of the entire company now. Mm-hmm. The employees won, et cetera. Is that the case? Or, you know, did Arthur S., his cousin, also come out as a winner, even if not in the public eye?
Well, I guess the way I would phrase that is not who won or who lost. I'd ask the question, did the people involved achieve their goals? I believe, yes, they both achieved their desired goals. But in many ways, I actually think Arthur S. achieved his goals to a higher degree. He was probably going to struggle to sell that company to any outside investor as long as his cousin was there. He had to either get rid of his cousin or sell to his cousin. So he was able to sell to his cousin at full price. From the reports in the past, it had been that Arthur T. had desired to buy controlling interest.
Right.
Not necessarily half the business.
Now he's got the whole thing.
Now he had to buy the whole thing. And I can't imagine that he really wanted to absorb $1.5 billion in debt and equity. So that's going to be a struggle. I think long term, it'll work out fine for him. But short term, I don't think it was necessarily what he wanted to happen.
Ted Clark, director of Northeastern University's Center for Family Business. We spoke with him back in 2014 at the end of the Market Basket walkout. Well, that's it for this Labor Day edition of Radio Boston. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. We have some incredibly hardworking producers on this show: Emma Jean Weinstein, Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, and Allison Bruzek. Tim Skog is our technical director, and our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.